Next on Gospel of Life, hear what Pope John Paul II described as the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life. I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Morana, our Associate Director. And Janet, we're going to talk today about telling divine tales. Pope John Paul II, in the Gospel of Life, a document that is read by Christians of all denominations about the Church's responsibility to defend life, says that among the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life are those who, unfortunately, were involved in the taking of life, but, thanks be to God, have repented of that, have found healing, and have now found the courage to speak out about what they did.
And, of course, Father, as you know, in January 2003, I co-founded the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and we give a platform then to those voices, those men and women who have been healed from that sin of abortion and now want to speak out about their regret so that they can reach others who they know are still locked in that same sin, or a woman who might be considering an abortion. They hear their testimonies and it might stop them from having it.
And of course, what this does is it puts the other side, those that support abortion, in a very difficult position, because they've been saying, listen to women. And now if you listen to women, you hear them say that abortion hurt them. What it also does is evangelizes, because people who've committed any kinds of sins can look at someone who's committed an abortion, seeing that she's found healing, and they can say, if the Church, if Jesus welcomed her back, well, then maybe it's time for me to come back and repent of my sins.
Well, as you know, Father, at the gatherings of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, we give men and women the chance to publicly share their abortion experience, both from why they had their abortion and what led them to that, and then what happened to their life immediately following that abortion, and then how did they, what broke through that silence, how did they find healing, and so on. So the first story we'd like to show people is a woman. Her name is Kelly. And she was a teenager at the time she had her abortion. And in fact, her parents, at the time, Kelly lived in Maryland with her family. And when they discovered she was pregnant, they flew her all the way to Kansas to an abortionist by the name of George Tilla, who specializes in what they call late-term abortion. So why don't we take a look at Kelly's testimony right now.
When I was 13, I got pregnant. And for months, I didn't realize anything was wrong because my period was not regular at that time. When I did go to the doctor, she told me I was 5 months pregnant. My parents convinced me that an abortion was the only answer. Because I was so far along in the pregnancy, I had to fly to Kansas to have the abortion. The procedure took 5 days. Every morning, my dad would drive our car through the crowd of protesters gathered around the gates as they screamed at me, held signs of dead fetuses, and banged on my window. During the five-day procedure, my cervix was slowly forced to dilate, which caused the worst cramps I've ever felt. On the fourth day, as I lay on an examination table, my baby began to kick frantically, more than she had ever before. I didn't realize what was going on, but somehow she knew. The doctor entered with a large needle that he had shot into my belly. After that, I never felt my baby move again. The next morning, I entered a large room with about 5 other women. We were all placed in our own hospital beds and hooked up to an IV that was meant to put us in a twilight state of consciousness. Unfortunately, I remember every detail of the experience. I was freezing, shaking, cramping, and alone. Someone gave me 2 little pills I thought would make me feel better, but instead they forced me into labor. The nurse walked down the baby killing assembly line to see if we were dilated, and then one by one took us off into a separate room. When it was my turn, I was surprised to enter a small room with what seemed to be a toilet. I was told to sit on the toilet, lean on the nurse, and push. So I did. I pushed my dead baby out into a toilet. After all this trauma, I lay on another examination table waiting for the doctor. A nurse placed her hand on my stomach and said with a smile, "Look how skinny you are now." I just cried. For weeks after the procedure, I was severely depressed. I rarely got out of bed. My body was bleeding and confused because it thought I should have a baby, but there was no baby to care for. Eventually, I did get out of bed, but I battled depression to this day, and I have been suicidal many times in my life. I have used drugs and alcohol. I was promiscuous. I had very little self-worth and developed bulimia. I hated my parents and rebelled in any way I could. I have been in therapy since the abortion, and within the last couple years, I have made a lot of progress. I was caringly persuaded to attend a Rachel's Vineyard retreat in April 2005. This retreat changed my life because although I have always heard God forgives you, I never felt it like I did on the retreat. His mercy was falling like rain all around me, but I had an umbrella up. The retreat helped me to fold my umbrella, and when I did, I was drenched in the forgiveness God was pouring out all along. Being with the other woman helped a lot as well. I saw that other women had made the same mistake I did, and I didn't condemn them, so I realized I needed to stop condemning myself. People need to know that the babies our country allow to be murdered every day are not lumps of mass, but living children with souls and worth. I felt my baby move inside of me. She had a personality. I left that baby dead in a toilet, and my story is multiplied day after day, baby after baby. It is absurd to think that abortion is the solution to any problem. The hurt and pain doesn't end after the baby is gone. I had thought I would just get over it. We are told as women we have a choice, but no one explains what we are choosing. I doubt many would choose to feel the way I have for the last 10 years, so that is why I am silent no more.
Well, we're grateful to Kelly for her courage in speaking out, and really, she's not alone in her testimony, either of the terrible things that happened to her or of the beautiful healing that comes afterwards.
That's right. And, you know, Kelly continues to come forward and give her testimony. She speaks in the Maryland area, and most years when the campaign goes to Washington, D.C. after the March for Life, Kelly joins us at that march and gives her testimony once again in front of the Supreme Court. And she hopes that when people hear her story, they realize, and for parents out there who think that taking a young girl off for an abortion, your young daughter or a grandchild, you're taking your granddaughter off for an abortion, you're not helping that child. That's what Kelly wants to do. She wants to reach parents and grandparents alike who somehow think abortion is going to solve that unplanned pregnancy. Kelly wants to warn them to say, no, it doesn't solve that problem. It only creates all these other problems for them.
Well, we're going to hear from a man's perspective in a moment, but let me talk for a minute about this, that if people want to see these testimonies, how can they get hold of these videos?
Well, they can go to the silentnomoreawareness.org, our website. We have Kelly's testimony up there on the website.
All right, so people can just view what they just saw online.
Yes, they can.
Well, then what that means is that they can take the link to that online video and send it to their email list.
That's right.
They can take the link to that video and put it on their website.
Mm-hmm.
They have full permission from us to do that. They don't have to ask us if they can do it. We want them to do it.
That's right. People like Kelly who freely give their testimony have already signed a consent form. That's why it's up on the website. That's why it's being shown on this program. And that's what Kelly wants. Take my story and use it to change hearts and minds, to stop another young girl from being taken down this road. Because, see, Kelly, she didn't choose to have that abortion. She was taken for it by her parents, and she deeply regrets it.
Tell us about the next clip.
Well, the next clip is a man's story, because very often people focus just on the woman, but we have to understand for every woman that has an abortion, there's a man who's involved. He's involved in different ways. Some men couldn't stop the girl. But the gentleman we're about to hear from, he was a participant in that. He passed off a check to the woman and said, okay, well, I'm not ready to be a dad. Go and have an abortion. And unfortunately, that's what happens to a very, very many of the women. They feel abandoned by that man. So let's take a look right now. His name is Jonathan Flora. Let's take a look at Jonathan's testimony right now.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. And this is my first March for Life, and I pray for all of us that this is our last. You know, you're going to hear a lot of testimonies, and I've heard several here, from women referring to the guy in their life that played a role in their abortion. I'm here today because I was that guy. About 26 years ago, after a tour in the Army in my first year of college, I got a girl pregnant. One of us was in love, and it wasn't me. I bought into the lies that by writing an inexpensive check, my problem could easily go away. And I used all the common excuses and lies that we were told. And this was my reasoning for not living up to my responsibility. I was still in college. I was too young, no money. And, of course, I knew that we had no future together. Besides, it's only a blob of tissue. That was the biggest lie, and that was the closure on how I distanced myself from that actual act that was about to be done. And by being the guy, it gave me the added advantage to distance myself by even farther. I did not have to go through the process that you're hearing these ladies describe today. All I had to do was drive her to the clinic and pick her up afterward. We never talked about it after that, and neither did I for 26 years, never a word. because of those lies, it was easy to bury. About 10 years ago now, when I came back to my faith and got married, it was then that I truly realized what I had done. When the doctors told my wife and I that we could not have our own children, the emotions and that guilt came pouring in. Was I being punished for not protecting my first child? As a man, we are called to be the protectors, especially of the young. But because of those lies, I ran away from that responsibility. I murdered that child, my child. No semantics, no excuses, no lies can defend or describe it as anything other than that. And I regret my lost fatherhood. But I was not being punished, and I have been forgiven. First, I've been able to forgive myself. My wife has willingly and quickly forgiven me. And God has forgiven me. Here's the good news, too. The doctors were wrong. We've been blessed with two beautiful children, Olivia and Benjamin, and I have a third that I know I will see again. I will always be that guy, but I'm also a man that no longer believes the lies, and I will also be silent no more.
Well, Jonathan works in Hollywood, and it certainly is great to have someone like him sharing this perspective. And, you know, more and more, I'm getting asked more and more, are the men coming forward? And, of course, in greater and greater numbers, they are. And the healing is available for them, too.
That's right. You know, ministries, Father, like Rachel's Vineyard, retreat weekends. And very often, I think men feel like, oh, that's just for women. But no, it's for men also. And I've been on those retreats where they have been both men and women together. And the healing, the power of that healing together, both for the man and the woman, it's incredible. Because, for example, you know, Jonathan lost touch with the woman who he had that abortion with. You know, he hasn't seen her in all these years. But yet he's able to gain that healing by being around other women who regret their abortion. And it's through his contact with them and his asking forgiveness for them from them that he has more of that healing experience. So people shouldn't feel like, well, how can I get healed, you know, when I don't even am in touch with that man or that woman that I was involved in. No, the healing can still happen because you get healing from each other. You've gone through a similar experience, and there's great power in that.
Well, the women get such strength from hearing him say what he said.
Oh, especially when he said, I was that guy. When he said that phrase, I was standing there in front of the Supreme Court the first time Jonathan gave that story. And he had just come through his healing and back as a Christian. And he told me he was quite nervous about getting up in front of all these women because he said, you know, here, I'm the guy. I'm that guy. And he publicly said that. But the women embraced him after his testimony. I mean, the tears were flowing. They embraced him by saying, you know what? You're forgiven. We forgive you.
Yeah, it's very powerful. So now, Silent No More Awareness Campaign is part of the MAN Network. Tell us about that.
Well, it's the Men and Abortion Network, and this is a network of many ministries who are ministering specifically to the man. Because what we're finding more and more is the men feel like they're getting pushed aside on this issue. They feel like there's so many ministries that are focusing on healing the women that they want to get the word out in a bigger way that men are impacted also by abortion.
I would point this out, too. When people try to assert that abortion is just a woman's issue, and that therefore only women have a right to speak out about it, that actually compounds the pain and grief of the man. Because part of that pain and grief is, I wasn't man enough to protect that child.
That's right.
So then if you turn around and say, in the hearing of men who are feeling precisely that way, oh, well, you have nothing to say about this, that just reinforces their feeling like I failed as a man. The fact of the matter is this is a man's issue, and men don't sit around or just stand around with their hands in their pockets when little babies are being massacred. They go forward and they do something to save them.
That's right. And they can get to the MAN website linked there from our Silent No More Awareness website. For the men out there, just go to silentnomoreawareness.org and we'll connect you with the MAN Network.
Well, thanks, Janet. Friends, this is a way for you to help to end abortion. Take these testimonies. Take the links to these testimonies and spread them far and wide. Have your pastor invite one of these people in to speak in the church. We'll connect you with those who are willing to give those testimonies. Bring them in to see pro-abortion legislators. Have this information everywhere. Well, we'll be back with our action segment.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job. My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child. My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion. I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself.
I started to have nightmares. I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Do you ever sit watching TV and wish that you could be the one on the other end of the camera telling people exactly what you think and exactly what your responses are to the things that are going on in the world? The good news is you can. And it's just as powerful and influential, if not more so, than the program you're watching me send to you right now. I'm talking, of course, about YouTube, MySpace, and Facebook, the internet social networking sites where you can have your own channel. Janet, let's talk more about this. People literally can send out the messages, the videos that they want, and it's not just a matter of sending these things out, but of establishing networks, groups, communities, opportunities to find and to communicate with people of like mind around any particular topic of interest they want on these various social networking sites.
Well, I know, Father, you know, at Gospel Life, you have already done this. We have, you have your own YouTube channel. And I think what people maybe are confused that think you need, like, these TV cameras that we're coming to them through now in order to do this. But why don't you tell everyone how you do your own YouTube taping?
Well, it's very simple. You get a simple camera, and it doesn't have to be the kind of quality cameras for TV broadcasts. You get a simple camera, sometimes just a cell phone camera, and you make a little video, and then it results in a little video file that you just send up to YouTube over the internet, or to MySpace, or to Facebook, and it's so simple that grade school children are doing this. You just need a little bit of software, and that's it. And you're communicating with people. And like I say, not only do you post your video, but then people can comment on it back and forth. You get discussions going about what's on that video. But then also you join groups. You can join YouTube groups or start them yourself, Facebook groups, MySpace groups. And people who are looking up a particular topic, pro-life or abortion or whatever your topic of interest is, will find you and you will find them. And then you can communicate either publicly with that person or even privately with that person. You come to see and know people that you would have never encountered before.
Now, when you go up to YouTube, you're going to what? It's youtube.com. Okay.
So it's a website, essentially, which ends up being both a TV channel and a meeting place.
Okay. So now suppose our viewers say, okay, let's go find Father Frank on YouTube. Tell us exactly how would they do this?
Well, first of all, we have links to all of our accounts and all of our channels right on gospeloflife.com. But then if you go to YouTube directly, you just put Father Frank Pavone, FRFRANKPAVONE, and that brings up our page. We also have a PFLTV page, which is Priests for Life. And we put videos there of our pastoral team, yourself, right. Dr. Alveda King, our other priests and pastoral associates, Dr. Teresa Burke of Rachel's Vineyard and Kevin Burke. So they're all up there giving messages, giving updates, and again, interacting with people that are interested in those topics.
That's right. So now, suppose someone, they go up there and they look at the things we've done and they're inspired. How can they get their own YouTube channel?
YouTube.com, and you can just sign up right there. It has the sign up box. It's not difficult at all, and it's free.
And then, of course, in addition, these videos are rated. If you look, they give them how many stars and how many views. So it's really encouraging to see how many of these programs get these videos.
Let me also point out that that there is a GodTube as well, and people will see a link there to our account on GodTube. And there's also a CatholicTube for those that are Catholic and want to interact specifically with Catholics. GodTube, of course, those who are believers, Christians of all denominations, and of course on GodTube and CatholicTube, you've got your theme is going to be more explicitly religious, and people of like mind will get together. Okay. Well, thanks, Janet. Folks, let's use these tools. God has given them to us to spread the gospel and to spread the pro-life message. Thanks for joining us. Promote our program, support our ministry, and we'll see you next week.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child. My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself.
I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Haley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the National Director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the National Pastoral Director and Board Chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.